reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for ever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many, many years ago, when I was training to be a vicar, I was put on a placement with the RAF at Lynham near Swindon. Before I went on this placement, I was petrified of what they would make me do. I was totally scared about going there, but when I got there, they were fab, and I absolutely loved it. However, one day, news came through to the Padre's office of a terrible incident that had happened in Afghanistan the previous day. 5 paratroopers had been killed in Afghanistan, and the following week, they were to be repatriated at the base where we were. I didn't know what to expect from all of that, and the clergy team I was working with just told me to brace myself for what was going to be a difficult day. And sure enough, the day came round. I drove into the base as normal. I met with the clergy team as normal, had a cup of tea, and all felt normal. Then I was told to get in the car, as we were going to make our way to the hotel where the families were staying. On the way to the hotel, I didn't know what to expect. What will these people be like? How much sadness would there be? Yet, when we got there, sadness wasn't a word that was naturally in the air. Though the whiff of it was in the background, people were smiling, laughing, joking, having cups of tea, getting to know each other, and in fact it was almost festive. The pain that I was expecting just wasn't there. So we met with them and made our way back to the base, and the families followed on as well. At the base, everyone was given a cup of tea, and again there was chat, there was laughter, there were jokes, and I couldn't get my head around it all. And then at a certain time, the Padre whispered to me, "Come on to the landing strip." And all the families went as well, because the plane carrying the bodies was about to arrive. And when, in the distance, the plane could be seen, tipping its wings to give a salute, that's when everything changed. To this day, and all my life, I will never forget the cry of pain and anguish that was heard from those families as they saw that plane approaching and as it landed, and as one by one the coffins of those bodies were carried off that plane. It was a noise I can't put into words, and a pain that I can't articulate. I'd never seen anything like it at all. It was the moment of realization over what had happened. Then, one by one, everyone said goodbye, and I drove back to our home. And I just felt in the car as I was driving, angry, annoyed, and frustrated, because I couldn't make any sense of it. Fundamentally, what I was feeling was complete and utter hopelessness. I'd seen death before. I'd been to funerals, but normally they went the other way round. There was the pain and the grief, but then there was the wake where laughter and jokes were told. Here, the opposite happened, and my overriding memory was pain and grief and sadness and pain and noise, and it just didn't feel right. And for days and days and days and weeks and months and even years, I carried that with me, trying to make sense of it all. And that gut-wrenching feeling of hopelessness, I just couldn't shift. I wonder, have you ever had a feeling like that? Maybe not in a similar way. Maybe something completely different. Maybe to do with bad news. Maybe to do with work. Maybe to do with something in the family. But something that is so gut-wrenchingly hopeless, you just don't know what to do with it all. Maybe in this last year, you've had a sense of hopelessness as well, as COVID has come on its way and other things have happened too. It's really weird. I remember thinking back to this time last year, this week, and a conversation I overheard between two slightly elderly ladies. If you remember this time last year, there was a lot of flooding going on, and we knew that COVID was kind of coming its way, but we didn't know what it would look like. They were referencing the book of Revelation, from which we hear today, and talking as if the world was coming to its end. And as this year has gone on, so many other people have done the same, and with it has come a sense of just utter hopelessness. For us, and those of us who believe, we know that hope is a reality. We know that there is always hope in God. But sometimes it's hard to get our heads around what it looks like. What does Christian hope look like? You could look at it and say, well, there is a kind of circle of life principle going on. When you walk with the Lord, you know that darkness and light will swap. When the darkness comes, the light will always follow. We cling on to verses like we find in Psalm 30. Weeping may tarry the night, but joy comes in the morning. We know that whatever bad things can come, hope and joy are always just around the corner in some way as well. I know it for myself right now. I'm sat out here in my garden on a lovely, fine, slightly cold day. But for the last few weeks, it's been raining and raining and snowing and raining. I haven't been able to come outside, but the rain has stopped. But I also know this. Though the rain has stopped now, it will come again. It will rain again. And in the same way, when we have things that give us hope, hopelessness is just around the corner as well. And walking with the Lord can sometimes feel like a series of peaks and troughs and going round in circles of good stuff, bad stuff, hope and hopelessness. So maybe Christian hope isn't all about that, though it's certainly there. Maybe hope comes from somewhere else. Maybe it comes from walking closely with God and seeking to do His work and doing His will. The closer we walk with God, the more there is hope. And I know for me, as a younger man, and even now I struggle with it, I live by a life of almost Christian karma. And that's to say that the closer I walk with God, the less chance there is of bad things happening. The more good I am, the less naughty I am, the less chance there is of terrible things coming my way. And even as I say this out loud now, I know that it's a load of rubbish. And it's a load of rubbish really for two reasons. One, it takes away from the grace of God. Though we stumble and fall, God forgives us. And secondly, it takes away from the knowledge that God just truly, truly loves us. Walking closely to God isn't a natural taking away of bad things coming our way. For the last few weeks, I've been listening over the story of Job in the Old Testament and how Job himself struggled with the injustice of the world, how bad things happen to good people, and good people don't always get their own way, And bad people sometimes get away with it. Sometimes the world just seems completely and utterly unfair. And even the closer we walk from God won't prevent bad things from happening. We live in a fallen, broken world, but we live in God's love. So what can we put our hope in? Perhaps the ultimate answer for that lies in that same book of Revelation which those ladies were talking about. You see, the book of Revelation is a really weird book. So many people are obsessed with it, both within the church and outside the church. But often what they're obsessed with is the horrible stuff. They're obsessed with the four horsemen of the apocalypse, all the woes and destruction and things coming that symbolize the end of the world. But those of us who believe know, or should know, or ought to know, that the world itself won't end. You see, the book of Revelation is all interesting but pointless if we ignore the end of it. And the end is about hope. The end is about the renewal of the earth. The end is about eternal life with the Lord. The end is about God's saving grace, giving us eternal life. And fundamentally, that is where our hope is to be put. And fundamentally, that is where our hope is to be found, that we are forgiven for our sins, that we will have eternal life with the Lord. When we're on this earth, bad things will come our way. When we're on this earth, hope will be robbed from us. We're on this earth, walking closely with Jesus won't mean that terrible things won't happen. But we will always have that hope. We always have that hope, the ultimate hope in God. I heard a story once about a young boy. And this young boy had some pretty specific and very accurate special needs. And when he went to school, he struggled. And in his class, he was unpopular. And even the teacher who taught him really struggled with him. And he smelt bad. He behaved badly. He was a difficult child. Easter was on its way, and all the children were told to bring in something that demonstrated what Easter was all about to them, and even looking about what the hope of Easter meant. Now, what people didn't know at this time was that this little boy had a severe illness. And sure enough, as they came to the class that day, everyone brought in what Easter looked to them. Some kids would bring in a picture of a rabbit, an Easter egg, and then this kid came in carrying a plastic egg. The teacher looked at it and tried her best to look encouraging, to smile and say, "Well done for what you've done." And then he pulled off the top of this egg and out flew a butterfly. And he said to the teacher, "That is the hope of Easter. This butterfly used to be a caterpillar, but now is transformed into something else. And I'm going to be like that one day too." The teacher didn't know what that meant until a little while later, the little boy died. And then standing by his graveside on the day of his funeral, the teacher and all the class gathered round with plastic eggs, with caterpillars turned into butterflies within, releasing them, and that symbol of eternal life. True hope that comes with God. True hope of eternity with Him. Bad things will come our way on earth, and things will come to rob us of our hope. But this earth is just a blip in the eternity which we will spend with Him. Our ultimate hope is in the Lord. Whatever rubbish comes our way, He will ultimately turn to good. Whatever pain we suffer on this earth, whatever illness we suffer on this earth, whatever distress we suffer on this earth, whatever problems we come across in this earth, however high we go, however low we go, eternal life is there for us. Jesus has won the victory. Jesus has won the victory over death. Jesus has won the victory and has given us the crown of eternal life to embrace and enjoy. That is the ultimate new dawn. That is the ultimate hope. That is the hope that we have in the Lord. And that, when we are almost hopeless, is the hope that we cling on to. And I know for me, going back to those brave men who were killed in Afghanistan, that too was the hope that I had to cling on to. That eternal life is offered to all who call upon the name of Jesus. But that's not to say that we should feel hopeless while on earth and nothing good will come. That's not to say that we should look just to death for our hope in everything. You see, we believe in those words, on earth as it is in heaven. And as we believe in those words, on earth as it is in heaven, so we believe also that heaven and earth can touch each other. What is to come can touch now, and God's kingdom can break through as well. And whatever hopeless situation we feel ourselves in now, whether it's to do with COVID, whether it's to do with our church, whether it's to do with our jobs, whether it's to do with our families, whether it's to do with our finances, whether it's to do with our health, anything at all, we can lift them to the Lord and lift them knowing that He loves us and lift them knowing that we lift them to Him in hope. And the glory of heaven, which we can look forward to and we do look forward to, can come down to earth and bless us now. Where is your hope today? What are you putting your hope in? Are you putting your hope in material things? Are you putting your hope in the thought of a summer holiday? Are you putting your hope in going back to church? Are you putting your hope in people? Or are you putting your hope in the Lord? Everything else will let us down, but the Lord will never let us down. He has won the ultimate victory. He has got us the ultimate prize. And today we can be hopeful because of that. And as we venture forward into this year, with all the problems of last year still seemingly at our door, we move forward in the hope that He gives to us. So let us bless His holy name today. Let us praise Him for His goodness. Let us cling on to Him, and may we seek Him, and may He bless us in all that we do. And I'm just going to finish today by just praying for us all. Father God, we thank You for all the blessings that You give to us. And we are sorry for sometimes that we miss those blessings. And in fact, we're sorry for all the times when we fall short of Your glory. We thank You for Your forgiveness. And we thank You for the forgiveness that is offered to us because of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. We thank You that He rose from the grave to give us the hope and the joy and the expectation of eternal life. And we lift all things to You in hope now. We lift You every situation and every place where we feel hopeless. We lift everything to You, whatever that is to us as individuals. And we pray that Your Spirit would fall upon us. We pray the hope of what we are looking forward to in heaven and the blessings of heaven would penetrate earth now, and they would bless us in every situation. And we pray, Lord, that we would feel Your love upon us now, that we would feel Your hope upon us now, and that whatever we go through today, this week, or these weeks ahead, we would do so knowing that You are with us in everything. Father God, hear us this day, we pray, in the name of Jesus, Your Son, our Lord. Amen.